good to be with family. Not all of us were just tied up in the Christmas spirit in terms of the trappings with trees and gifts and all that, because we have one person whose mind was on his relationship with God. All of us should be, but one decided that he needed to hear the gospel and obey the gospel. So we want to rejoice with our new brother in Christ, Bob Lent. Brother Bob, would you stand up? There's Bob, so you want to meet him? And I say that, thank you, Bob. I say that his mind was on his relationship with God because it was actually on the 24th that he was baptized. So that's his new birthday, his rebirthday on December the 24th every year. I hope you'll follow along with the lesson today. We're going to be in Luke chapter 5. You can have your Bibles open there, and or you can follow along with the text that we will be seeing on the screen as well. There is a sermon outline in your bulletin. You can also follow the points there and the text together as we look at our lesson this morning in Luke chapter 5. I do want to say one thing about what Brother George Weed was saying about Bible reading. I noticed that one of the points he had on there was that it's good to get together with a group. Do you know that we have groups that meet here and in the building or in homes to just read Scripture together and encourage one another? I'm aware of one, this gentleman right here, one of our deacons, Brother Troy Williams. He's a part of a group that meets on Mondays and Friday mornings. They would love to have you at 9 o'clock. You see him or Brother Bob Havers, I don't know, I'm going to forget names, and John Boger and some others here, you'll discover that they rotate in different homes. So this week they're going to be in Bob Havers' home tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Join us. I think you'll enjoy reading through the Bible. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Psalms right now in that group. So join us and read God's Word in 2020. You know, think about reading God's Word in 2020. You want to have 2020 vision? Get into the Word, right? All right. Well, right now we're in Luke chapter 5, so please follow along with us this morning. It is often said that everyone loves a winner. In fact, I would say that in our culture today, in Western culture, we probably enjoy winning a little bit too much. We get excited about it. We treasure it so much that we make it almost a god in terms of goals in life that we have. We think winning is everything. And so when it comes to losing, if we ever lose, I'll tell you what, losing is really hard on us. It takes its toll. We actually placed so much emphasis on winning and success that we don't handle losing too well. And even if we can stomach failure every now and then, we'd much rather win than lose. None of us, you know, begin a project and start doing something hoping to fail. We do something because we want to succeed. We understand that's the way life works. And as we get ready then, thinking about this today, as we get ready to begin a new year, and we are ready now to basically close the curtain on an old year, maybe some of you are thinking back on some of the failures of 2019. And what I want to do this morning is for us to try to maybe consider another side of failure as we think about failure and the times that we have failed others and failed God. I want us to try to think of it in a different way this morning so that maybe we can put our failures into perspective. And then we'll have a better perspective, a 2020 perspective in the new year. Failure is something that's going to happen to all of us. And what I find is that, you know, if we're going to fail, and really it's not really if we're going to fail, it's when we fail, what we have to do is to be able to learn how to make the best of it. We have to learn how that we can actually benefit from failure. If we let it overwhelm us and we think too much about winning and we get deflated and defeated by failure, I believe that we're going to miss some of the character growth opportunities that it will provide for us. sometimes we're in such a hurry to toss aside failure that we and try to be successful that we miss out on the lessons that failure can actually teach us. And other times we get stuck in the muck. You know, we sort of get so down on ourselves because of failure, wallowing in our failures, that we give up on future opportunities for success. Failure can actually be our friend if we allow it. And that's what I want us to explore this morning. So let's go ahead now and look at Luke chapter 5 this morning, verses 1 through 11. And I want us to see some of the benefits that can be ours in terms of capitalizing on failure. As we consider this story, I want you to see the positives of failure. So the story is very simple, nothing elaborate about it. You know that the disciples in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, they're on a fishing expedition. In fact, they've been fishing all day long. That's what they were. They were fishermen. Peter was part of that crowd of these fishermen. And the fishermen on this occasion were very unsuccessful initially on this fishing trip. Peter said that they had worked all night fishing and they had come up empty. They had not even a single fish in any of the nets that they had laid down that night and that day as they were fishing. In fact, this may have actually been one of their worst outings as fishermen all day long, and they came back with empty nets. Peter's response to Jesus implies that the only reason that they would have not given up is if Jesus tells them to try it just one more time. There was nothing else that was probably going to change their attitude of, let's put away the nets, let's call it quits. But Jesus said, just try it one more time. And so they cast their nets out again. And they, as they cast their nets out, and as they bring their nets back in, well, to make it very simple, they came up with two sinking boats full of fish. I mean, I just can't imagine that, you know, all the disciples there, the fishermen, how their jaws must have dropped when they saw all these fish after all day long, empty nets, and now two boats that are full of fish. The boats are even sinking. They're so full of fish. It was an amazing experience. And one of what happened then was one of their worst days of fishing turned out to be the catch of a lifetime. And it's a good thing that Jesus helped them to see then that, as we all need to see, is that failure is not final. It can be final. We decide to quit. We decide to put away the net, stop doing the whatever it is that we're trying to do to serve God. We can quit, and then failure will be final. But if we choose to, through the eyes of faith, do as God has told us, keep at it, keep fishing, failure is not final. So let's do this morning. Let's go ahead and climb into the boat with the disciples, and let's see if we can find some positives in this story. I want to share with you three things about this fishing trip. We're going to talk about the fellowship of failure. We're going to talk about the follow-up of failure. And then last of all, we'll talk about the fortune of failure. So now as we look in chapter 5 here of Luke, the first seven verses, we're going to talk about the fellowship of failure. If you've ever been a failure at anything, I want to let you know that you're actually in good company. Because the Bible heroes that we read about in Scripture are fishermen who fail, are people who aren't successful in certain areas of life. In fact, I really think this is what makes the Bible so believable, is because it exposes the weaknesses and the failures of even God's greatest heroes. You go through the Bible and you look at people that you admire and you know, men of faith, women of faith, and you look at them and you can see that the Bible is not the kind of book that would hide their failures. A human author would have hidden King David's failure with Bathsheba in the adultery and the murder. I mean, a human author would have hidden something like that. You wouldn't want to see David in that light, right? A human author would have said, well, you know, Jonah really wasn't that bad, but Jonah was a bad preacher, I got to tell you. And people like Peter, well, we're talking about Peter here. Peter was a failure. He denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. And yet we call him a man of faith. The Bible does not hide these things. Bathsheba is there. Peter's failure is there. You know, situations like Judas, you know, betraying Jesus. It's there. Yeah, Jesus had a betrayer. And lots of failure in the Scripture. Now, the disciples themselves, look at our story here. The disciples themselves were a bunch of significantly imperfect guys. One of the top three of the disciples, Peter. Peter is a guy. We said he denied Jesus three times. But you know, I'll also tell you something about Peter. Peter was so messed up that Jesus actually on one occasion called him Satan. Remember? Oh, I'm going to die, Jesus says. I'm going to go to the cross. No, Peter says, that's not going to happen. And Jesus said, listen, your thoughts are on things below, not on the things of God. He said, get behind me, Satan. Imagine that. We always think of Peter as one of the best, the greatest disciples, and Jesus called him Satan. And then of the other top three, they got Peter, and then you got James and John. James and John, the other two top disciples, were so hot-headed that one day they wanted to call down fire on a Samaritan village. You know, you talk about road rage today. This was village rage, you know. Call down fire. We want to nuke these people. And these are the top three of Jesus' disciples. And of course, all of the 12, they had their issues of faith. To one time where Jesus would even turn to them and say, oh, you of little faith. Yeah, that's right. He said that to the faithful disciples, right? And of course, in the end, when Jesus went to the cross, all of them, it says, forsook Jesus. Yes, they were failures. And here, before they're even called as disciples to follow Jesus Christ, they experience failure in the very vocation in which they were supposed to be experts. Fishermen. That's what they did. They did this for a living. And again, I just think this was probably the worst fishing trip they ever had. They were a failure on this occasion. But all of this, in my estimation, is by divine design. And failure is, well, again, it's a part of life, but failure is not final. Jesus wanted them to know from the very start of their ministry that without him, they could do nothing. I see that in this fishing failure right here in Luke chapter 5. Jesus wanted them to know from the very start, you're not going to be able to be a success without me. That's what we're seeing in the story. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says that God chose the foolish of the world. He chose the weak of the world. He chose the insignificant of the world. Why? It says so that no flesh would glory in God's presence. He doesn't want us thinking that we did something and we by ourselves are what's making whatever we're doing is a success. We should know that as God's people, that the only reason we have any success on any occasion is because God is behind it. God is the one who should receive the glory. But the thing I want you to see here in our story is that the disciples were failures. And you know what? That's not actually a bad thing. That's really okay. When you decide to follow Jesus, again, failure is not final. It's not all that bad. And what we can see here in our story is that if you're a failure, then you can identify with the heroes in the Bible who failed. If you fail in life, guess what? As you're trying to do what you can do for God. If you fail, that just simply means that you're on God's team. You're part of the church. You're part of the fellowship of failure. And when you fail, you know, when you fail, God can use you anyway. He can use you in spite of yourself, in spite of your weaknesses. And when He does use you, He gets the glory. Amen? That's the way it should be. And when you fail, what you need to do is you need to listen for Jesus, because He may just be whispering to you or maybe shouting at you saying, launch out and let your nets down again. And that brings me to my second point then. We've talked about the fellowship of failure. Now I want to talk about the follow-up of failure. The reality of failure in God's kingdom is that it is only a prelude to success. None of us can always succeed at everything. None of us can even be a success at the very things that we do the best, that we're really good at. These guys, remember, they were fishermen. They were really good at this thing. And if you always succeed, then you're probably going to end up having a big ego, and then you're going to be hard to live with. Right, husbands and wives? Yeah. So we need to be humble. We need to eat a little crow, they say, right? We need to eat a little humble pie every now and then. If you always succeeded, you would just, well, you might be very difficult to live with. So you need failure to remind yourself that you're human, and to remind yourself that you need God in your life. I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul says about just a little footnote in his journal, as he wrote a lot about some of his failures and some of his problems in life. And he says this to the Corinthian brethren in the first chapter of the second letter that he wrote to them, verses 8 and 9. Here's what Paul said. He said, "The trouble that came upon us in Asia, when we were burdened beyond measure and above strength, so that we even despaired." Imagine this, Paul despaired even of life. And he says, yes, we had the sentence of death upon us. Ever felt like that? We had the sentence of death upon us. He says, why? So that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Wow, you see what Paul is saying here? We came to the bottom of the barrel. We had nowhere else to turn. Death was knocking on our door. I mean, if it wasn't for God, we would have died. He says, we had the sentence of death upon us. Someone said that some of you may never know that God is all you need until God is all you've got. Hopefully, God doesn't have to take us out behind the woodshed like that to bring us down to the very, you know, bare knuckles, as they say. Nothing there, nothing to live on, only but God. But maybe God needs to do that. Maybe kind of that's what happened to Job in a way. Job discovered, you know, hey, listen, God is all I need. And the reason is because God's all I've got on this occasion. But failure in life, to me, gives you a chance to put your trust in God. And do we need to put our trust in God? Over and over again. Whenever we get going on in a rhythm of life where we're just functioning on the idea of we've got it covered ourselves, we don't need any help, we're just doing it on our own, we don't need God, I don't need you today, boy, we're going to really be in trouble if we function like that. We need to have those moments, maybe many moments in life, where we say, I can't do this thing without God. I need to trust in Him always and forever. And after you fail, what I'm suggesting is, when you do fail, God puts before you a follow-up decision. What's next? How do I do this now? How do I function now? How do I get God back in the equation and rely on Him and trust in Him? Now, what was Peter's decision initially in this trip? His decision was, listen, it's time to quit. That's what he thought of initially. It's time to quit. We fished all day. Time to put away the nets. It's time to quit. But Peter sees in Jesus' request to fish some more, Peter sees a crazy call to trust in God. You know, if it was just his fisherman instincts, he's seen this before, he's done this before, it's ready, let's pack it in, let's put everything away, it's done, we'll do this another day, we got another day tomorrow. If it's just going on that, it's time to quit. But Jesus said, listen, I want you to put your trust in God. I know you're tired. I know you don't want to, you know, you've done, tangled all the nets. Everything's, you know, you just want to put it away and be done. Just throw it on the other side one more time. And he called Peter to trust in God. Failures in life demand a follow-up decision. One of my favorite heroes, and I've got lots of them in the Bible, but Job is somebody that really... it sticks out in my mind as a unique individual. And you want to talk about failure. You know, we could very easily say that Job was the poster child of failure, right? I mean, everything went wrong, right? Even his friends were turning against him, so-called friends. The three of them that gave him all the advice, and that's what the book of Job is all about. And Job is trying to listen to them, and Job is trying to figure this thing out, and Job is trying to really evaluate his relationship with God. And he even said at the beginning, you know, that, hey, listen, even though this has happened, I'm going to worship God. But inside, he's kind of saying, I don't know, this worshiping God thing isn't going so well. You know, life is falling apart. But then Job kind of has a second wind in as he's listening to his bad advice from his friends. He has this second wind. And in Job chapter 13 and verse 15, Job says, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. And I always say, translation to that for me is, God, even if it kills me, even if you kill me, I'm going to trust in you. Well, I'll tell you, that's kind of like this wild idea of faith. I'm going to go on this no matter what. I mean, I'm out of, the tank is empty. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to put my trust in him, even though this whole life thing, experience, Job says, is killing me. Instead of complaining about failure, you need to see God's hand of direction in it. Somehow, some way. You know, what we're told in the book of James chapter 1 that when we have trials in life, we're to count it all joy. We're to know that God is building character in us, and we're to let him complete what he's trying to finish in us. In chapter 1 verse 4 it says that. But in verse 5, James 1 5 says that any of you, if you're lacking wisdom, that be me right here, if you're lacking wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So we ask for wisdom. God, help me to see whatever you're moving in my life to cause my life to be the way that it should be. I want to see your hand of direction. And so when you feel like quitting, the question really is, will God gain your dependence on him? Will he gain your dependence upon his word? Failure, you see, always has a follow-up. Hopefully the follow-up will be faith. But sometimes for many of us, the follow-up is frustration, fear, doubt, anxiety, whatever it is, we feel like quitting, like Peter. Peter and the disciples, though, they decide on faith, and Peter says, nevertheless, even though I feel like quitting, he says, nevertheless, in verse 5, at your word, Lord, I'll put down the net. And he decided to obey God. The follow-up of failure. My final point this morning, we've talked about the fellowship of failure, the follow-up of failure. Now I want to look at the last part of the story, the fortune of failure. Chapter 5, let's see, we'll start in verse 6. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both the boats so that they began to sink. You thought I was making that up, sinking boats, right? Two sinking boats full of fish. It goes on to say in verse 8, and when Peter saw the fish, I love this, Peter says, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. Well, we're going to talk now about the fortune of failure. Our story has a happy ending. And I can tell you why it has a happy ending. It always has a happy ending for disciples of Christ. Amen? We know that God is in the boat with us. It would always be an immediate success, as it was with them on this occasion. I mean, nets bursting, fishermen rejoicing, maybe not. But as the Bible says in Psalm chapter 30 and verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now that morning might not be until Christ returns. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13, he who endures to the end shall be saved. So we're those that would endure to the end. Now along the way, I got to tell you, you may have a flurry of failures, but you'll be part of the fellowship of failure. You'll be challenged by the follow-ups of failure. And in the end, the fortune of failure will be worth it, well worth all the struggles along the way. You'll have heaven in the end, and maybe you'll even have some minor successes in between. Even in the midst of earthly successes, though, like Peter, you might feel like you're unworthy. Did you see what Peter said there? He said, "Depart from me, Lord." He says, "For I am a sinful man." Peter sounds a little battle weary, doesn't he? He sounds like he's had some battles in the past. Yeah, that's right. He duked it out with the devil, and the devil won a few times, maybe a lot of times. And Peter says, "I feel like a sinful man." But in the presence of Christ, in your life, it guarantees victory. Jesus said in Luke chapter 5 and verse 10, he says, from now on, to Peter, he says, you're going to catch men. So the question becomes, are you ready to follow Jesus? Are you ready to become a lifelong disciple? You see, the disciples, as you look at the story, it lets us know that when they decided to follow Jesus, they left everything behind. They left even the biggest catch in their fishing career. They left it all behind. They left their boats. They left their families. They left their businesses to follow Jesus Christ. And why is that true? Because they were after a bigger catch. Something that heaven is made of. They were after the souls of men. And ultimately, even as they're going out and catching the souls of men, they're being caught as souls themselves by Jesus Christ, saving their souls and saving the souls of others. Heaven, you see, will be worth it. Listen, I want to close this morning by letting you know, maybe it's a sore subject to say this, but listen, you had some failures in 2019. You've had some failures throughout all your life. You have been a failure. Let me say it this way, you are a failure because of sin. I'm a failure. We all fail. We all fall short of the glory of God. Welcome to humanity. Part of the fellowship of failure. Failure is not final. And when that failure comes, you incur a follow-up decision. There's a decision that needs to be made. And Jesus is calling you today, no matter what you've experienced in the past, He's calling you today to launch out again and let your nets down in faith. And like Peter, maybe you're saying today, Brother Rowe, I don't feel worthy. I would say the same thing that Peter did. Lord, you don't realize what you're dealing with here. You don't realize how sinful I am. But you know what? He does realize how sinful you are, and He loves you anyway. And He says, get in the boat. Let's go for a ride. Let's catch some men. Let's go fishing. Let's fish all the way to heaven. Will you go with Him? Will you follow Him? You're going to feel battle weary along the way, failure weary. But Jesus is calling you to try again. And I'm going to tell you something right now. With God, it's always too soon to quit. If you're not in Christ Jesus, just like Bob did last week on the 24th of December, he heard the gospel, said, I want in. I want to follow Jesus. I want that new life in Christ. After his faith in Jesus was realized, he says, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He heard the words of Peter in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. He heard Peter say to him, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And maybe today you need to repent of your sins as a believer. Turn to Jesus. Have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism and launch out again in 2020. Let's stand to sing our invitation song.